Roses are red, violets are blue. The NFL is dangerous, and if you're a quarterback in 2019, it sucks to be you.
You are listening to the Mic Drop Sports Podcast, dropping the mic on the top stories in sports. Now give it up for your hosts, Mike Schneid and Zach Stein.
Welcome. What is up? This is the Mic Drop Sports Podcast. I am Mike Schneid, joined by the birthday boy, my co-host Zach Stein. How's it going, buddy?
It's going good. Birthday weekend was fun. That's going pretty good.
As long as you have your health, it's going better than NFL quarterbacks right now, right?
This is true. This is very, very true.
And I think so. My biggest takeaway from watching this past week, at least from the 1 o'clock games, there are some god-awful teams in the NFL.
Yeah, this is it's tough. There's some teams that have surprised me, but then there are really bad football teams. So, but the teams that are good are really good.
But everything's going how we expected, right? I mean, we talked about this in our prediction show. The Bills are 3-0. The Niners are 3-0. The Lions are undefeated. The Steelers are winless. So it's all going like we expected, right?
Everything is normal. Yeah, it's Browns are 1-2. Like everything we could have predicted is it's going swimmingly right now. It's been wild.
Why did we do predictions again? It has been wild. So where do you want to start? Do we start with the 2020 Super Bowl champion Vikings? Do we start with the 2019 MVP Daniel Jones? What are you thinking we do first here?
There's a lot. I think we should talk about the quarterback situation right now and then kind of like hedge that into teams that are taking and will probably need to look for QBs in the future, because that sort of talks about all the bad teams right now. So I think that's a good way. And then let's spin it around and figure it out, talk about some AB stuff, and then get to some college football.
Let's do it. Let's start with Danny Dimes, because I have some thoughts on the Giants rookie QB. You and I spoke really extensively about this at the draft, and I know I was super passionate and adamant about Jones and the way that he played at Duke and what the Giants were doing. He was awesome on Sunday. The Giants won. He looked like a franchise quarterback. So my note to everybody, to all the Giants fans, and to everyone that's taking a victory lap, stop. The Bucs are one of the worst teams in the NFL. They are awful. Yes, Jones made throws that Eli Manning hasn't made in a decade. He can run the ball. He was incredibly impressive, and I'm not taking anything away from him. But now that there's tape, let's see what happens when defenses start to scheme against him. Let's see what happens when he plays against real NFL defenses and real NFL teams. The Bucs are a total joke. And just because Jones had one good game doesn't negate everything that happened, doesn't negate the fact that the Giants defense is awful and their pass rush is non-existent. So Josh Allen still would have helped. They still could have taken him later in the draft. The GM, Dave Gettleman, still talked about that Green Bay model and sitting him for 3 years. He lasted 2 weeks. And then if this guy really is so good, then why on earth did the Giants bring back Eli Manning to pay him $30 million? So good for Jones, good for the Giants, but I'm not sold. Then they play an even worse team this week, the Redskins. Let's see what happens when they play the Patriots, when they play the Cowboys. Let's see what happens when he plays a real team.
Well, they got things. So, yeah, I agree. Buccaneers were cake. He looked good. Props to him for looking good against that team. He's probably going to look really good at home against the Redskins in his first home start. Obviously, no Saquon, changed a little bit of things. But then before even the Patriots game, he's got home against the Vikings, one of the best defenses and secondaries in the league, and then the Patriots. So we sort of got a two cake game schedule here to sort of boost his confidence, and then we'll find out what Daniel Jones is really like for two games, and then he gets to play at home against the Cardinals. So it's going to be I feel like it's going to be a really up and down season for Daniel Jones, because I'm looking at this, it's like, okay, Bucks, Redskins easy, Vikings, Pats very hard, then Cardinals, Lions, okay, Then he's got Cowboys, Jets, Bears, Packers, Eagles, tough. Then finishes with Dolphins, Redskins, home against the Eagles. So it's going to be it's going to be really interesting, because I feel like we're going to see if he's great, we'll know it because he's got the opportunity to prove it. But I have a feeling we're going to see a really inconsistent rookie quarterback just because of how the schedule differentiates throughout the year.
The schedule and the team around him. I mean, the defense is atrocious, and he's throwing to guys named Benny Fowler and some guy named Cody Latimer, who I've never heard of. Have you?
Hey, whoa. Cody Latimer went to IU. But, you know, to be fair, when they're healthy and they're getting Golden Tate back soon, I really do like Golden Tate, Sterling Shepard, and Evan Ingram. I think that is solid. If those three guys are solid, he's got three legit playmakers. But now, obviously, the playbook changes when you sub in Wayne Gallman for Saquon Barkley, because now the defense can line up a little bit differently. You're not going to be facing a stacked box with Saquon. He's not going to be able to turn these huge screen passes into a lot of yards. Obviously, he didn't have Saquon for most of this first game and still looked great. I'm not blind to that, but you're going to need him against these really good teams and even against some of the bad teams. He's your best player, best playmaker, and we're going to really find out what Daniel Jones is made of this year.
Yeah, and like you said, the schedule's hard, but I don't think it matters. I feel like when, and people that have spoken to agree, wins and losses are secondary for the Giants this year. It's really all about building this kid's confidence and seeing his progress and development. And you can do that and lose simultaneously. So we'll see. I want to see him play real teams later in the season. I am excited to see that happen. The other team in New York sucks also. Their quarterback is out with mono, which is hilarious. Jets are like, what, one of a dozen teams that are without their starting quarterbacks? I know that's where you wanted to start, was all these quarterbacks that are out. I mean, talk to me about it. We're missing Ben, Breeze, Cam. It's crazy.
It really sucks, because I thought for the first time this year in a long time, the quarterback situation was the best it's been ever, with young quarterbacks taking over teams. Obviously, you've still got the veteran quarterbacks, but not really so much anymore. We've gone from having, you know, I mean, Sam Darnold's not going to be out for too much longer, but it's like I like seeing these young QBs develop, and he looked decent for most of the game against the Bills in week one. Until like the fourth quarter, really. And then obviously, you know, you lose Drew Brees, which is terrible. You lose Big Ben, which is bad. You lose Cam Newton, but it looks like their backup's pretty good. But a healthy Cam Newton is great for the NFL, because he's one of the most elite talents we have in the game. It's just, you know, it's a shame. And then obviously losing Nick Foles, who gets signed to a huge deal, although we are getting blessed with the Gardner Minshew show. So I don't know how Matt, we should be getting about Foles, but it just sucks for a franchise who signs, you know, a Super Bowl winning quarterback to a huge deal, and then him being out until week 10. It's tough. And then obviously, you know, now the Dolphins have turned to Josh Rosen, which I think is smart, because you got to try to build up his confidence and build up his skill set to make value, because obviously the Dolphins are taking a quarterback in the first round next year, probably going to be Tua, and they're going to try to trade Josh Rosen for another pick. So it's just it's weird. It's a really weird season right now.
Rosen played well against the Cowboys. There were two weird instances. They were inside the 10-yard line, and they kicked two field goals. When you're 0-2 and you're that bad, I don't know why you don't go for the touchdown, although I guess if you're tanking, the math says to kick the field goal. Yeah, I mean, the one that bothers me the most is the Saints, besides for the fact that I picked them to win the Super Bowl. I just love Drew Brees. He's really close on a number of different records and milestones, and losing him really sucks for the league. I agree about Cam Newton. I mean, he's just an extremely fun player, of course, to watch. Yeah, I mean, injuries are part of the game, but when it's happening to, you know, franchise elite quarterbacks, it sucks. And the Nick Foles thing is really painful for me too. I mean, the guy was a backup, won the Super Bowl, back to being a backup, finally gets his chance to start, and then he gets hurt, what, 5-6 minutes into the game, into his new contract. And I don't know if he's ever going to start another game for the Jaguars, because Gardner Minshew II remember, there is no Gardner Minshew the first. His father just wanted to name him the second for God knows why. I mean, he's killing it. So it sucks for Foles, and hopefully when Breeze comes back, he comes back to a team that's in the playoff mix.
Yeah, I mean, I'm actually shocked the Saints won in Seattle. I think Seattle looked really, really bad. I watched that whole game, actually. And it's crazy because, I mean, Teddy Bridgewater is fine. He's a game manager at this point because, obviously, he's not the same athlete that he once was before his injury with the Vikings. So that, you know, sprinting ability to really make him a dual-threat quarterback anymore. Obviously, Alvin Kamara was absolutely amazing in that game. But the Seahawks looked so unprepared. Russell Wilson threw the ball 50 times. Obviously, they were down majority of the game. But, I mean, this is a game that the Seahawks, I was shocked they lost. So this is obviously a huge win, huge momentum builder for the Saints to try to keep their playoffs afloat as long as possible while Breeze is out until week 10, it sounds like. So, yeah, I mean, obviously, you know, you want the good teams with good players to be relevant. Obviously, I think the Seahawks and the Saints are both teams who are looking at, you know, playoff hopes this year. So that's a huge win for the Saints.
Yeah, that shocked me. That shocked me a lot. I was actually really high on the Seahawks defense for fantasy. I thought with Teddy Bridgewater, and he looked terrible the week before, and he hasn't really looked good since his injury, I just thought that this was a prime spot for Seattle to take advantage of them. But I was wrong. The team that's probably looked the best, I guess there's two teams that have looked the best. I mean, the Chiefs are 3-0, and then the Patriots. Patriots 3-0 start is so laughable to me because when we did our predictions, I said that they would go 14-2, but I didn't think they were going to be that good. I just thought because of the schedule. And now even in hindsight, when you look at the schedule, they're 3-0 with wins, and their three wins are against teams that are 0-9 combined. They've beaten the Jets, the Steelers, the Dolphins. They play the Bills. Then they play the awful Redskins, the awful Giants, the awful Jets again, the terrible Browns. I mean, they're going to start, 9-0.
This is a trap game at Buffalo. This is a trap game at Buffalo. This is Buffalo's Super Bowl every year.
Absolutely.
And the Bills are not to be laughed at. Josh Allen is a baller. I like this kid. I like his future. He's not afraid. He's finally got some reliable receivers to play with them, a decent run game, a decent defense. It would not shock me if the Patriots lose this game. But again, the Patriots have done what we expect them to do, except maybe even better. I mean, it's ridiculous what they've done. They still haven't allowed an offensive touchdown yet.
That's
on defense. It's crazy because, yeah, the touchdowns were the fumble return and then the pick six. And that pick six backdoored my cover. Unbelievable. I was so mad. The Patriots defense, I think, has been surprising at most because you'd always assume the Patriots have a solid defense, but to just go out and just there are bad teams. I would agree with that, but they actually embarrass these three teams. Brady looks as good as ever, which is a scary thought. Obviously, you know, they lose Antonio Brown. They don't miss a step without him. Philip Dorsett comes in and has been playing really well. Josh Gordon looks good. I know Edelman's banged up, but it sounds like he's going to be fine. James White just had a kid and missed the game. They're still fine. Sony Michel's gotten off to a slow start, but Rex Burkhead has come in and played great. It's just it's the same old Patriots. Yes, they have an easy schedule, but it's like this is a really good team. I mean, we're going to see. They're going to get tested this weekend. That Ravens game in a month is going to be a good eye test for them as well. Then they're also they're at Baltimore and then at Eagles and then host the Cowboys and then at Texans and then at the Chiefs. That's a 5-game stretch. That's a really interesting stretch for the Patriots right there because that's going to be, you know, basically probably 5 playoff teams maybe if the Eagles can get their stuff together and if the Ravens continue to look this impressive. So it'll be really interesting to see what kind of team this Patriots is once they get into that stretch.
Yeah, no, absolutely. They're going to cruise into that stretch, and then I mean those five teams are basically going to be their playoff prep, and then they end with the Bengals, Bills, and Dolphins. So, I mean, yeah, that one they'll see one of these teams again, maybe the Ravens, maybe the Chiefs in the playoffs. So I think it'll be a really big deal. And then, I mean, yeah, the Chiefs have been amazing also. That was a really fun game with the Ravens.
Okay, I think I'm going to admit this. I don't think I ever should have said Patrick Mahomes was going to regress this year. Holy moly, is this kid good? He is so much fun to watch. He is so great that you can't even hate on them because their offense is so electric with him. They are the most – I mean, just like I enjoy watching the Patriots win because for me they just play so efficiently and so effectively when you have all these bad teams. Like sometimes football becomes hard to watch, like just because it's the inefficiencies. So that's why I appreciate the Patriots more than most. Obviously, I know they're hateable, but the Chiefs are just as enjoyable as a team that you could ever even look back at thinking. This offense is just so good, and it starts with Patrick Mahomes.
Yeah, they're cruising. Their defense is playing well too. At least their defense has been better. I mean, I don't really know when they're going to get tested either. They play in Detroit this week. That feels like a trap game. Right? Detroit's a weird team this year. Somehow they're undefeated, and then they get the Colts, the Texans. They play your Vikings in early November. So, yeah, I mean, they also might just cruise through most of the schedule and go untouched until the playoffs.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, they've got – the Lions are a weird team. I don't think anyone saw this coming. I didn't think the Lions were going to be atrocious, but I didn't expect them to win these games that they've won to start this year. That's for sure. So, I mean, the Lions are a wild card. The Colts just got horrible news with Malik Hooker, one of the best secondary players in the league. So that kind of opens up the Colts to be, like – really susceptible to the air raid of the Chiefs that game. The Texans game is going to be amazing. Deshaun Watson versus Patrick Mahomes is going to be absolutely amazing to watch. And then they've got the Packers, which is going to be fun. Rodgers versus Mahomes. And the Vikings you mentioned. Then the Chargers again. Then at the Patriots is going to be a huge test. And then also at the Bears. So when they're getting ready to go in the playoffs again, that this is a team that's going to be great prep like the Pats. I mean, they're playing the Pats, then they're playing at the Bears, and they're home against the Chargers. So three good teams to end the year. So if this team ends strong, like, man, I don't know if anyone's going to stop the Chiefs this year. They're pretty good.
Yeah, I didn't notice that. That's really interesting. They play each other, and then the Patriots are just going to coast through the Bengals, Bills at home, and then I know the Bills are good, but then the Bills at home in late December, and then the Dolphins. While the Chiefs have to play – maybe, I mean, the Broncos stink, but then in Chicago, a game that might mean a lot for them, and the Chargers, a game that might mean a lot for them. So they're going to have to play their asses off at the end of the season for sure. What about your Bears, your Super Bowl pick?
They're a super weird team. Obviously, they did what they had to do last night against a bad team until
a really bad team.
Yeah. I mean, obviously, Case Keenum almost put a little scare into them last night, but Trubisky, I mean, yeah, did he have a much better game than he did before, but some of his passes were still not on target. Weird play calling. They got up so late. They got up really big early, and then they just kept throwing, and they kind of ignored David Montgomery until the fourth quarter, and Montgomery looks amazing. They need to keep getting this guy the ball. But, I mean, the Bears, I mean, that deep Khalil Mack is I have no words to describe him. I mean, he's probably the best defender since Ray Lewis in the league. I mean, this guy is a beast, a ball hog. He goes and makes plays. He's enjoyable to watch on the other end of the side of the football. So it's just going to be interesting to see. Obviously, this team relies amazingly on its defense, but obviously it's going to need pretty decent play throughout the year from Trubisky to win games.
You mentioned Khalil Mack. I know they play the Vikings this week. Do you know who they play next week?
The Raiders.
I can't wait. I don't know what the sack record for a game is. I feel like it could be like 4. He might get 6 or 7 sacks.
I wish it was in Oakland.
Isn't it? That would have been great. Right?
Is that the it might be the London game, you're right.
It doesn't, he's going to get 6 or 7 sacks. I don't know. That's that's a he's a scary man. That's just a scary defense in general. It that's the weird thing about this team is that so Trubisky's horrible. I wish this tweet had gotten more traction last night. Actually, it got a lot of play. But, you know, there's a list of guys that I'd rather have than Mitchell Trubisky at quarterback. Eli Manning is one of them. Nathan Peterman is one of them. I'd rather have Bugs Bunny. I'd rather have the Oregon Duck mascot. I'd rather have a corpse than Mitchell Trubisky. I think he's horrible. But they still are going to make the playoffs because this defense is incredible. I mean, the Redskins stink. I think the Redskins might be worse than the Dolphins, to be honest. But
well, the reason why I saw a great tweet with this, the Dolphins are actively trying to suck. The Redskins are so bad, but they actually don't want to be bad.
I know, and they play each other. I don't know if it's next week or week 6. They play each other soon. I'm really excited for that game. That's basically like the Super Bowl.
Yeah, for both those franchises.
Just the complete opposite. The Packers are killing it in that division now. And we both called it, too. We both said that the Packers would be good, but I thought the Packers would be good because I thought Rodgers was going to be vengeful and incredible. He kind of hasn't been.
I mean, the Packers are 3-0, and Rodgers has not played well. I am shocked by that. If you told me, like, what he looked like, if I watched all 3 of his games and didn't see a score, like there was no score, like at the bottom of the track, I would say the Packers were not good. But this is a team that's beaten the Bears in Chicago. Super impressive. They beat the Vikings at home. Another good team. Obviously the Broncos are not that good, but start off 3-0. I mean, Rodgers passed just, you know, 647 yards. So, I mean, that's 218 yards a game. And that's very un-Rodgers-like. I mean, he's a high-volume passer, only 4 touchdowns, obviously no interceptions, but it's just the production hasn't been there. Aaron Jones is not, like, lighting up the score, but either. So it's not like they're getting, you know, amazing production from them. They're only getting 89 yards rushing a game. So obviously their defense is super improved, which makes this team scary because Aaron Rodgers – throughout his most of his career, never really had a good defense.
It really is. Yeah, I mean, it really is something. That this is not why I thought they would be 3-0. It was not because of their defense. I know they made a lot of big free agency moves. They got Adrian Amos. They got Zadarius and Preston Smith. So, yeah, I mean, those aren't – the Vikings and the Bears, at least, are not bad teams that they're beating. Let's see how far this defense can take them. And at some point, you got to think that Rodgers is going to pick up this offense. That's the other thing. I mean, what is this guy, 35, 36 years old, this coach before? I mean, it's a new coach, young guy, and all of a sudden, 3-0. The Rams are also 3-0. That doesn't really come as a surprise. The Niners are 3-0. That's a surprise. I know you were really, really down on the Niners before this.
Really low on the Niners. This is really scary. I have a huge bet on them having under 8.5 wins this season. And them starting off 3-0 is not great, but I still have my hopes because they lucked out into a super easy schedule. I mean, winning at the Buccaneers, I didn't think that was going to happen, but the Buccaneers sting. They won at the Bengals. The Bengals are absolutely atrocious. And then they beat the Steelers with Mason Rudolph. So they completely lucked out here to start. Now they got a home game against the Browns, and the Browns have started off slow. It really is going to come down to if they win this game, I'm going to be sweating because then they're at the Rams. I think that's going to be a loss. But then they play the Redskins, so that's at least 4 wins. They're home against the Panthers. That could be 5 wins. They're at Arizona. That could be 6. Then they host the Cardinals. That could be 7. And then they got a tough schedule. So I think I'm still sitting pretty. If they lose this game to the Browns, I'm going to have a lot more confidence.
The Browns. I don't really want to talk about it with the Browns. I don't know why. I don't know why I would ever put confidence in the Cleveland Browns. Like, what would possess a human being to pick them to win football games this year? Like, I don't know why. I don't know. I love Baker Mayfield, so I think I was blinded by my love for him that I just assumed that they would be good this year. I don't know. I'm extremely frustrated.
Yeah, Baker obviously hasn't looked as good as everyone hoped they would look. I think, but the thing is if you were to start at the season and take a look at the schedule, you probably would have thought after three games, they would have been 2-1. Most people probably would have thought, hey, the defending NFC champs are in town early on in the year, so pretty decent weather. That they could have, that's a very losable game. That Titans game was a complete shocker week one. It wasn't flashy, but they dominated the Jets. And then, they didn't look good, but they hung in with the Rams. I mean, they only lost by 7 without Baker playing all that great. So, I mean, there's still hope for the Browns, but yeah, it's been a less than auspicious start for them. Like, it hasn't, they just not really inspiring.
Yeah, that's the thing is that I know obviously they were always going to lose to the Rams, but that game was just brutal to watch. I mean, their offensive line stinks, so Baker just gets these happy feet, and he holds the ball for way too long. The play calling is a joke. Freddie Kitchens, I thought that they hired him because of his relationship with Baker and because of the offense that he ran last year. Where is that offense? This isn't that offense. This offense is – it's not an offense. It's just it's offensive. It's terrible. So, I don't know. I'm frustrated. I already given up on Baker Mayfield. I came up into the season with super high hopes with him as my fantasy quarterback. I'm not going to turn the keys of the franchise over to Russell Wilson this week. I was able to make a big trade. I've lost confidence in the Browns big time. I could say, you know who stinks? And then you could follow that statement with like 12 different teams. So I'll start with that. You know who stinks? The Falcons. Matt Ryan's really bad.
It's tough. They have a really bad offensive line. And teams that have really bad offensive lines tend to not be good teams. Luckily for the Texans that Deshaun Watson is one of the best quarterbacks in the league and is able to extend plays, even though sometimes he does hold on the ball a little bit too much and some of the sacks are on him. But bad O-lines, and these are the teams that have bad O-lines. The Browns have bad O-lines. They're 1-2. The Falcons have a bad line. They're 1-2. So it's just that the Bengals have a really bad offensive line, and that's really crushing Joe Mixon's productivity, and you can see it. And so it's just the teams that have bad lines just are not set up for success because you have to buy your quarterbacks a little bit of time. So, I still have faith in the Falcons to win games, but I agree that they might not be a playoff team this year just because their offensive line and is going to cost them so much because they're not going to be able to have a decent run game to complement Matt Ryan this year.
Yeah, Devontae Freeman's also been a disappointment. So, yeah, I thought their offense would be improved. They used 2 first-round picks on guys. They signed guys. To me, they've been a pretty big disappointment. Who else? Who else stinks? Who else is good? Who else catches your eye?
The Ravens have been a little surprising to me. Lamar Jackson looks like college Lamar Jackson. So that's scary for the league. He sort of had a really nice first 3 week schedule here to really, get his stats up. So it'll be interesting once he starts facing some real defenses. The Ravens might be for real.
2 teams that I predicted to stink that both stink, the Titans and the Bucks. Jameis Winston and Marcus Mariota with the numbers 1 and 2 picks in the 2015 draft. They're both done. I don't think Mariota comes back to Tennessee. I think he gets benched at some point for Tannehill. And, God, Jameis Winston's so bad. I thought that maybe he would do better because Bruce Arians is an offensive guy and he's got Byron Leftwich working with him, but he's terrible. He's so bad, Winston.
Yeah, it's tough. I want to like Jameis Winston. I like him for fantasy still because he's, an air raid quarterback, but it's just, yeah, those, I mean, Mariota is terrible. The Titans are terrible. I agree with that. So it's just, it's rough. Yeah, I feel like it's either half the league is good in a playoff league and the other half is just god awful. Like, I just feel like there's not many mediocre teams.
Right. No, there is no in between. And you responded to this tweet the other day. I said, these are my tank for Tua rankings. And I left out teams like the Jets or, you know, teams that already have a quarterback, but like, there are still some really bad teams. Like, the Cardinals are terrible. Cardinals are going to have a top five pick again. I assume they're not going to take a quarterback. Jets are going to have a top pick. I don't know what's going to happen with the Steelers. I don't know how many games they're going to win, but they don't have a pick, obviously. I mean, yeah, the Titans and the Bucks are both bad. Broncos are terrible. So they're really – like, the Eagles are 1-2, but we know that they're a playoff contender. Like, there's no in-between when you look at like these standings. You're either terrible – or you're in playoff contention.
Right, and the Eagles have just had bad injury luck so far. I mean, that's right. A banged-up team right now.
And that's – I don't like that. See, I can't stand the Eagles as a Cowboy fan, but honestly, I was excited because everyone said that the Eagles had the best team on paper coming into the season, and I didn't necessarily disagree with that, but I wanted to see these teams battle it out. I wanted to see what would happen if that great Eagles roster – played what I thought was a really good Cowboys roster, and they've faced each other in a few weeks for the first time. Hopefully the Eagles get healthy for that game, because
I'd imagine they're going to be healthy. It sounds like Alshon Jeffrey's going to play Thursday, so that's a good start. I know obviously they've got more injuries on defense and everything like that, but hopefully, I mean, I hope they're still banged up when they play the Vikings the week before Cowboys though.
Well, for you instead, you're not necessarily competing with the Eagles. You're competing with, I mean, right now,
well, it could be because, these could be two teams that are up for the wild card. I mean, the Vikings are in a really, really hard division right now. Every team's above 500 right now. So, and I personally don't think the Vikings have a sustainable offense with Kirk Cousins right now to win that division, because they probably have the second best defense in that division of the Bears, and the Packers defense could argue that they have a better defense than the Vikings right now. So it's just it could be the Vikings and Eagles could very much be competing against each other right now.
Yeah, no, true. And yeah, I didn't realize your division, everybody's above 500. So what is the division like that? I just can't get over the Lions being good, but I think they lose this week. I'm looking at this week, there are some really, really good and kind of important early season games. Like Thursday night, I think maybe we'll finally get a good game, but Eagles-Packers is a big deal. Eagles Huge. Can't really afford to fall to 1-3, and if the Packers start 4-0, I mean, that's a big game for both teams. Especially, like you just said, they could ultimately be jockeying for a wild card positioning too.
Yep. I mean, but the Lions, I mean, we're about to find out who they are as well. Obviously, you know, they tied with, you know, the Cardinals week one. Now looking back, they probably should have won that game after 2-0-1, but then they beat the Chargers, which is impressive at home. They went on the road against an injured Eagles, which is still impressive. Going on the road and winning a game is tough. But then now they've got the Chiefs, then they're at the Packers, and then home against the Vikings. That's a big three-game stretch for the Lions. So I feel like their season could get determined in these three games. If they go 2-1 or better in these three games, then yeah, they might be contending for wild card or that division. They could easily go 1-2 or 0-3 and now really fall behind, because those are two division games in there as well. So we're going to really find out what these Lions are made of in the next month.
Yeah. Matthew Stafford's playing really well, and that defense is pretty underrated. So we'll see if they can get pressure on Mahomes. They do play at home, so I don't think they're going to win, but see if they can hang in there. You mentioned the Bills are a trap game for the Patriots. This game is so much fun to me because they're both 3-0. And what, I think the Patriots' three opponents are, we said, 0-9, and the Bills' three opponents are combined 1-8. So we know the Patriots are good. I think the Bills are decent. I think I had the Bills pegged at like 7-9 or 8-8 before the season, so I thought the Bills would be good, but we'll see how good they are if they can compete with the Patriots on Sunday.
Yeah, that's going to be an interesting game. I would not pick the Patriots in a survivor pool. That has possible trap game written all over it. So that's a game to keep an eye on.
There's just a lot of good games because there's a lot of games that, like, I feel like the season could slip away quickly. Like, I'm looking at the Titans-Falcons. They're both 1-2. I feel like the loser suddenly loses complete grip of their season.
Yeah.
And then the Chargers are 1-2. They have a bye week basically playing against the Dolphins. We'll see what the new franchise of New York, Daniel Jones, can do against a really, really, really horrible Redskins team. The Browns have a chance to bounce back against the Ravens. Not optimistic about that. The terrible Bucs play the Rams, so the Rams are probably going to get the 4-0. And then, what do you make of the Vikings-Bears?
I'm glad we're playing in Chicago earlier in the year, just because weather should be, you know, fine this weekend, so it's not too cold. But I don't trust Kirk Cousins in this game, and obviously the Bears' defense is amazing, so they're going to slow down Dalvin Cook, I imagine. So, I mean, I'd be shocked if we win this game or even keep it close. I'm hoping, you know, our defense can mess up Trubisky enough to keep it close. And maybe our defense makes a play or two more on Trubisky. Their defense plays on Cousins. But Cousins is a fumbling machine. So, I mean, this scares me. Diggs has been invisible this year. It's just I really have no hope for the Vikings this week. I think they're just so outmatched by the Bears.
God damn, Stephon Diggs.
It's He's annoying. I have all fantasy too. Killing me too.
And I have Allen Robinson, who is the worst quarterback in football. And Baker Mayfield. I'm in trouble. And I just found out that my tight end is out for a while. The Steelers just acquired Nick Vannett. Which means Vance McDonald isn't coming back anytime soon. So that's good.
Oh, God, he's on my team, too. I saw he was in a sling. So if they just went and get somebody, that means I got to go get a tight end.
Yeah, I saw that he was in a sling an hour after I traded TJ Hockenson as part of my package for Russell Wilson to replace Baker Mayfield. So everything is going up in flames right now for my team. Off to a great start. Cowboys are also off to a great start. Haven't talked about them yet. I think they're a good team. But you have to take the 3-0 start with a grain of salt because they've beaten Eli Manning, Case Keenum, and Josh Rosen. This was the game that I always had circled on the calendar. I'm a little more skeptical now because it's Teddy Bridgewater, but they did win the Saints in Seattle last week. So what do you think about – I mean, do you think the Saints kind of still come in here as the favorite? They are playing at home Sunday night. It'll be a crazy crowd. What are you kind of looking for in this one?
Yeah, I mean, this is still going to be a good matchup regardless that, you know, Breeze is out. Because obviously this game is in New Orleans, one of the best home field advantages in the league. Alvin Kamara is still playing. Michael Thomas is still playing. But, I mean, I know it's been an easy schedule for the Cowboys, but Dak Prescott has been amazing. Zeke's been pretty good as well. Amari Cooper's been awesome. The defense has been fine. I'm actually going to log into my gambling site right now just to take a look at what Vegas is saying on this game, because it does intrigue me now that with no Breeze, I'm curious how much respect the Cowboys are going to be getting. But I mean, personally, like if I'm doing like a straight up game, I'm going to pick the Cowboys just because I'm not sure if I feel like this might be a letdown game for the Saints after getting such a great win in Seattle. So I would definitely just say Cowboys money line. I imagine the spread is under 3 points either way. It is the Cowboys are favored 2.5 points. So they are giving the Cowboys tons of respect here, which is a little shocking. I almost thought that that like Saints might have been -1 here for being the home team. But obviously this proves, you know, what Vegas thinks of the Cowboys right now and obviously what they think of Teddy Bridgewater starting. So, I mean, this is going to be a good game, and obviously the Cowboys are favored. I'm excited to watch it.
And the Cowboys have history with the Saints, too. They beat them last year in that crazy Thursday night game. They've won a couple games recently, the last couple of years against the Saints. So they usually do come to play against them. I don't know the last time they won in New Orleans. I'm actually looking right now. It doesn't look like it's happened. It happened in 2009. That was the year that the Saints won the Super Bowl, and they started 13-0 or 14-0, and they beat Breeze, gave them their first loss, and they still won the Super Bowl. So it's been – you remember that year pretty well, don't you?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it'll be a good test. I'm excited to see – Yeah, I'm excited to see the Cowboys play some real competition for the first time. And probably before the third straight week, I'm not watching Monday Night Football. I don't know who made the schedule. If anybody listening knows who makes the Monday Night Football schedule, tell them to call me. The schedule's a joke. The Browns played the Jets. Like, why? Like, it's Bengals Steelers. And coming into the season, you knew the Bengals would be bad. So why are they on Monday night? You knew the Redskins would be bad, so why did they play on Monday night? The Jets play again in a few weeks. They play the Patriots. Why did they get two Monday night games?
To interrupt, I get the frustration, but at least the Jets coming in, the Jets, Browns, at least that was supposed to be Darnold versus Baker. Fine. Like, too young. They got Le'Veon Bell, so like, I can understand the Jets getting these, and obviously Fine. You need to get these teams primetime games, but the Bengals scream Thursday Night Football, not Monday Night Football. I remember growing up, Monday Night Football was like the marquee game of the week. Obviously, Sunday Night Football has taken that, which is fine. I love the marquee Sunday Night Football games now, but yeah, Monday Night Football is kind of like just an afterthought now. It is really disappointing. I mean, I still watch because I'm obsessed with football, but now I've started bringing in two TVs and gambling. but I've started bringing in two TVs. But you're right. I mean, this Cincinnati-Pittsburgh game is terrible. It was terrible to begin with. I mean, the Bengals are just so not interesting at all. I didn't even think the Steelers were all that interesting to begin with this year.
The Steelers, and they had Ben. True. Told you. I mean,
that's fine. I mean, I get it that it's a divisional game, but it's just make it the Steelers Ravens at least. Like, that gets it. And then obviously San Fran Cleveland. I mean,
it Steelers Browns. Who cares about the Browns Niners? I know they're two like upswing teams, but are you gonna sit around hyped all day on October 7th to watch the Browns and the Niners?
Right, and then
the Dolphins play the Steelers. I can't get over this.
That is a mistake. They knew the Dolphins were going to be terrible. Dolphins being on Monday Night Football is atrocious. Obviously, the Dolphins have to have a primetime game, but give them a Thursday night game. I mean, everyone geeks up for how bad Thursday Night Football games are like is already. So why not just embrace that and just put the Dolphins on there? Monday Night Football kind of just it's a sham now. Like I'm trying to look at a matchup that I'm super excited for. I'd say I'm going to week eight now.
I'm looking at it now. You're going to have to scroll all the way down the calendar.
I'm at week eight. That's the Finns week. Week nine. It's a disgrace. I love Monday Night Football, and it's just, Cowboys at Giants Monday night in November 4th. Danny Dimes versus Prescott. I'd be pretty excited for that game, to be honest.
I mean, I'm excited for it.
Obviously. It's a win. That's a good divisional game. I mean, when now we get a new quarterback, I don't think Saquon's going to be back then. He might be back by then.
Yeah, but after that game, all these games are good. You get Seahawks, Niners, Chiefs, Chargers is a fun divisional game, Ravens, Rams. After that, all the games are better, but
it's just the start of the year. Yeah, it's a little bit of a buzzkill.
Yeah. Anything else on the NFL?
Has Antonio Brown played his last game ever in the NFL?
Yeah.
I agree.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I don't know who – I don't know where you go from here. I don't know why anybody would sign him at this point. I mean, it's the craziest, like, borderline saddest thing in the world, because I keep saying this guy for six straight years had 80 catches, 1,200 yards, 8 touchdowns, and you could fit him for the gold jacket in Canton. I mean, this guy was a lock. I don't know if he's going to make the Hall of Fame now.
No, but he's not going to make the Hall of Fame. We have a discussion
about this. I mean, imagine me telling you a year ago, I don't know if Antonio Brown's going to make the Hall of Fame. You would think I'm nuts. You would hang up on me.
Yeah, I can't even think of anyone ever having a more self-sabotaging chain of events like ever like this. I mean, the guy lost so much money. He lost so much respect. Obviously, the allegations didn't help the cause at all. But I mean, just this is behavior has lost him so much respect. So I mean, it's just I've just never seen anything quite like it. And he was given such an amazing opportunity to go play with the Patriots. He played great in his one game that he was there. And then he committed like the most cardinal sin when you're in trouble and you're accused of something and harassing an accuser. I honestly think he would have survived maybe a few more weeks while the NFL investigated before maybe they put him on the exempt list. Obviously, I think the texting really finally gave the idea that the NFL could do that because that's just stupid behavior. So it's just it's self-sabotaging. It makes no sense to me.
It really is crazy. It's kind of a sad story, but, you know, he did it all to himself. So it's hard to feel bad. It's sad from like a human nature standpoint where this guy didn't say a word for so long and now all of a sudden he's out of the league, he's out of the Hall of Fame, and you know, he's out of my mind. I can't. I don't want to waste any more energy on this guy.
I agree. I think it's finally done. I mean, obviously it hurts my fantasy team. I can't be selfish about that. I think the whole NFL world is just happy to say good riddance.
Absolutely. I'm tired of the story. I'm definitely happy to say good riddance personally. And then, so let's say good riddance to the NFL for now. In our final few minutes, let's do some college.
Oh, yes.
So I think there are six teams that are locked in to the playoff mix. Maybe somebody else can jump in there, but I think Clemson, Alabama, Georgia, Oklahoma, LSU, and Ohio State are two levels above the rest of the competition. Do you think there's anybody else in that tier? And if not, who from those four are your top four out of those six?
Yeah, I think those are obviously I think obviously those top six teams are there. I still think Texas has an outside shot of doing it because they're going to have a chance to play Oklahoma, and they played well against LSU, one of those teams already. But yeah, I don't think Wisconsin, Auburn, Florida, Notre Dame are there. So yeah, those six teams are amazing. It's going to be tough. I mean, it's so hard because all these other teams are going to earn their spots in the championship except for Clemson. But Clemson's good. They have great players, but they're going to go undefeated, and it's a cakewalk there. But they're a great team, and it's just – but it's like Alabama is – I mean, just Alabama, Georgia, LSU, that the SEC is stacked. And then, I mean, you've even got Florida in there. So, I mean, that's four of pretty good teams. Three great teams and a fourth really good team in the SEC. You've got Ohio State, Wisconsin, and the Big Ten who are rolling. Obviously, you've got Oklahoma, Texas, and the Big 12. So it's just, you know, you've got – and then Auburn in the SEC as well. I mean, the SEC is amazing. Everyone knows this. But Clemson sort of gets the cakewalk in the playoff, and no one's going to bat an eye at it because they need to be in there. So a really, really good team who played a much harder schedule than Clemson is going to miss the playoffs because Clemson goes undefeated.
Yeah, I mean, it's weird. Obviously, they're a great team, but it's hard to prove it, I guess. I mean – I don't know how good Texas A&M is, who they already beat. And yeah, the rest of the schedule is a cakewalk. They're not going to play a top 25 team the rest of the season. Alabama's had a cakewalk schedule so far, but they do play at Texas A&M, who I just said might not be that good, but it's still tough to play there on the road. They play Auburn, they play LSU. So the SEC is going to kind of cannibalize itself a little bit, because obviously at some point Auburn, LSU, and Alabama are all going to get some losses. I do think Alabama comes out unscathed. I think them and Clemson are locks for the playoffs. I was so impressed by Georgia. I think Notre Dame's a really good team. And I don't think Notre Dame gets enough credit for being a good team. That was a great win for Georgia. I think Georgia's going to run the table. They're going to run the table, at least until they get to the SEC title game against Alabama. That's what I said before the season. And nothing that I've seen from Georgia has changed my mind. So I think those three teams are in. And LSU's out because they would lose to Alabama. And I have no idea how you choose between Oklahoma or Ohio State. I guess if one of them loses, they're out automatically. But I know Ohio State has played, God damn it, Cincinnati, a cupcake schedule for 4 weeks. But, I mean, Justin Fields is unbelievable. I just don't see who's going to stop him. But I don't see who's going to stop Jalen Hurts either. So it's really hard. I wish we could get Ohio State, Oklahoma, and then the winner goes to the playoffs. Wouldn't that be fun?
That would be fun. A little extended version. I mean, with Fields and Hurts, those are great quarterbacks playing elite right now. It's just fun. And what's great about all these teams is the stellar quarterback play by all of them. I mean, Clemson, you've got Trevor Lawrence, Alabama, Tua, where teams are tanking, actively tanking for this quarterback. Georgia, Jake Fromm is solid. LSU, Joe Burrow. I mean, this is Ohio State, Fields, Oklahoma, Jalen Hurts. These are six super exciting quarterbacks. And whenever you have a chance to watch them, you got to watch them just because they're so fun to watch. These are really, really good teams. For the most part, they're good on both ends of the ball too. So, I mean, they're just it's so good. It's a shame that two of these teams are not going to be in the playoff.
Yeah, I wish we could get the 16 playoff. Not because I want to see UCF, and not because I want to see the Pac-12, but because all six of these teams deserve a fair chance at the national championship. And I don't know, who knows? Maybe Auburn pulls off the upset over LSU or Alabama. Wisconsin does play Ohio State. I don't think Wisconsin's going to win that game, but they've been really, really impressive. So I'm looking forward to that. Ohio State plays at Nebraska. I thought that could be a loss before the season. Nebraska's really bad. They almost lost to Illinois. I'm furious about Nebraska. I've been furious before, and I still am. They're hosting game day, and this game is on ABC primetime on Saturday night. This is a team that was ranked to start the season after back-to-back four-win seasons. I've never seen anybody so overhyped or overrated in my life. Actually, that's not true. Michigan is more overrated and more overhyped, but Nebraska's up there. But Michigan sucks. There's a difference. Yeah. At least Nebraska has no substance. Nebraska has back-to-back four-win seasons, and for some reason the media is overhyping them. Michigan has five-star recruits. They've had some kind of success. They've at least made big bowl games. They've won 9-10 games. They are a joke. They're a joke. I love it.
I do too. I love Michigan being bad. I mean, this is a really bad team. They just got super embarrassed by Wisconsin. I mean, just their quarterback play is atrocious. Their defense isn't as good as advertised. I mean, luckily they get a home game against Rutgers, but then they're home against Iowa. They're at Illinois, and Illinois has been playing tough. Then they're at Penn State. They're against Notre Dame. And then they're at Maryland, and they're home against Michigan State, and then at Indiana. I think this could be the year that Indiana finally comes through and beats Michigan. Obviously, it's not going to be as exciting as the other games where they've kept it really close and had a chance. But this is an opportunity for Indiana to make a bowl year this year, and we've got to win a game we're not supposed to. And having a home game against Michigan seems like the opportune time this year to beat them. And it's going to be a monumental moment if IU could pull it off at the end of the year.
Well, I'll tell you this. It's a gauntlet schedule. They play, like you said, they play at Penn State, and then they get Notre Dame at home the next 2 weeks. I mean, those are two top 10 teams right now. They go to Maryland,
who was ranked earlier.
Who was ranked, and they were putting up crazy amounts of points. They get Michigan State. They play them at home, but it doesn't matter. You throw out wins and losses in that rivalry. And then you get Indiana. But I love the spot of the Indiana game because it's Michigan State, and then the week after is Ohio State. So at that point, the reason why I would be slightly cautious, like cautiously optimistic about Indiana, is you could be facing a broken Michigan team. I mean, at that point, are people going to be truly calling for this guy, calling for Harbaugh to be fired? Is Jay Patterson going to survive until then behind this offensive line? Doesn't matter how you do it. You just want to beat them. But I'm just saying, they could be a broken team at that point. Like, it could, that game is going to mean everything to Indiana and nothing to Michigan, because at that point, they're going to be out of it. They're just going to be trying to get healthy for next week to play Ohio State.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, with Indiana, playing a bowl game is getting to 13 games. That's our goal. I mean, sad to say, but I mean, we're 3-1 right now, which is what everyone wanted them to be. We didn't have a chance at home against Ohio State, but just looking at our schedule now to get to 6 wins, we're at MSU this weekend. I don't think that's going to be a win. I just think their defense is too good for us. But then we're home against Rutgers, so that's got to be our 4th win. And then we have to find a way to get 2 wins, where our schedule then is at Maryland, at Nebraska, home against Northwestern, at Penn State, home against Michigan, at Purdue. We typically don't play well on the road in Big Ten, so it has to be Rutgers is our 4th win, Northwestern's our 5th, and then if we're at 5 wins and Michigan comes to town and we have a chance to end our losing streak against Michigan to make a bowl, that is going to be the most lit the stadium's been in a long time, because to beat Michigan, to go to a bowl game and have a chance to win our 7th game at Purdue the following week, it just as an IU fan, the opportunity for that is exciting. And I mean, that's going to be our Super Bowl essentially that week if we're sitting at 5 wins.
And you keep referencing the streak. If you're not familiar with Indiana football, because I'm not familiar with Indiana football, they've beaten Michigan 9 times ever. And the last time was in 1987. So we've never even been born in a world where Indiana beats Michigan.
What was the date of the win in 87?
October 24th, 1987.
I was not born. I was in the womb, but I was not. It was October? Yes. No, I was born. I was 1 month old. What the hell am I thinking? Oh, my God. Yeah, so it was October. I was 1 month old. Oh, that was bad. Bad sex math. So I was 1 month old. So that doesn't even count. I didn't even know what Indiana University was. So this would be amazing. If we can go to a bowl while beating Michigan, that it would be the biggest success. Tom Allen, huge successful year if this is going to happen. So 11-23, that could be our Super Bowl week.
And here's my last little mini rant on college football. You were naive on Saturday to think that I was done talking about UCF. I will never be done. They've won 28 out of 30 games still. They deserve more credit than they get. They deserve more respect than they get. If winning 28 out of 30 games is so easy, why hasn't Boise State or anybody else done it? But, okay, I'm done with UCF. They're going to beat UConn by, I think, 74. I'm going to predict 77-3. They're going to beat UConn this week, and then they're going to lose in Cincinnati next Friday night. And then we'll be done talking about them, I promise.
I was disappointed with that loss. I had a decent amount of money on them. They just did not play well. I know it's a road game, and so it's always tough, but that's not a good Pitt team, and they blew their opportunity to do something special with this run that they're on. So disappointed.
I mean, I was furious. If anyone was going to take them down, I wanted it to be Cincinnati. So I'm pretty upset that, because now if Cincinnati wins next Friday, it's kind of meaningless. It's kind of like, I mean, it means everything to Cincinnati still, just in terms of the division and the conference, but in the national stage, it's like, oh, well, UCF's a fraud, so who cares if Cincinnati beat them? They beat a bad UCF team. It's like, it's not going to be as meaningful. So, to me, it's disappointing. And then the Pac-12, how about the Pac-12? I woke up Sunday morning and I thought I was looking at a basketball score. That UCLA game was insane.
I don't get it. UCLA is so bad, and they just have such a good game. Obviously, I mean their defense is embarrassing to give up that many points, but good for them to get a win. I mean, their quarterback played amazing, and we have said bad things about him on this podcast. And I mean the Pac-12 is already ruined. I was disappointed with Utah losing at USC. I really thought Utah was good. I don't think they had a real chance at the playoffs, but I thought they had a legitimate chance to at least run the table and have a really, really special year. I mean, they still could be if they go to the Rose Bowl and can find a way to win the Rose Bowl this year. But I thought they just looked vulnerable in that game. So that I was a little disappointed with that.
Yeah, me too. I definitely was high on Utah, and USC's down to the third string quarterback, and they're still winning games. So they're actually kind of impressive. Any last closing thoughts on college, on the NFL? How about your World Series pick just got eliminated from playoff contention? So that's exciting.
Yeah, super exciting. Yeah. Baseball, just go Dodgers. It's going to be a grind for them this postseason. Their bullpen's not that good, so I'm a little bit worried about their chances of making it to three straight World Series. And then obviously the AL has monster teams with the Yankees and the Astros, so it's gonna be a tough road for the Dodgers, but I'm excited for playoffs to start. I love baseball. The season's so long and so draining, so I'm just excited for the excitement of October baseball to begin here shortly. We're just really entering, a great time of sports with the NFL being fully back. We got college football, baseball playoffs are about to start. NBA is about to start. College basketball is about to start. Just it's my happy time of the year here, so we're rolling.
It's Zach's happy time, everybody. Yeah, there's a lot going on in the sports world. You can listen to us talk about it every week, and you can check out MikeDropSports.com. You can follow me on Twitter at MSchneid, and you can follow Zach at ZStein87 for all of our sports takes on all of these different sports.
Yeah, and I just want to say, I know we've had a few new followers in the past week or so appreciate my coworkers, some people on Tinder that I've been talking with that I got to listen to my the podcast. So appreciate, shout out to all the listeners. You're the real ones.
Yeah, thank you everyone for listening, and talk to you next week.